Today we are going to appreciate the Buddha as a social reformer. Buddha as a social reformer. Buddha said, Ukka daro manussanang nichang apichato maya. Among the mankind, those who are the torchbearers, towards them I have so much respect. That is what the Buddha said. So who are these torchbearers? The one who holds a torch, a light, means he dispels the darkness. And he illuminates the world with light. Means he is a leader who changes the other human beings in a positive way. And he dispels the darkness and ignorance from humankind. He encourages human beings to think in a wiser way. So when it comes to this particular point, Buddha himself is known as a torchbearer, bringer of the light. Tiloka Deepang Sambuddhang. Sambuddha, supremely enlightened Buddha, is known as the light of the triple world. He appeared on the earth to dispel the darkness from human mind. At the time of the Buddha, 2500 years back, Indian society was in fact very much different from today. In his teachings, Buddha tried to establish righteousness, equality among the human beings, while dispelling the ignorance and darkness and leading the human beings towards enlightenment. So the message of the Buddha eventually spread far and wide in the world, throughout Asia and other corners of the world. Even today, we still see the light in Buddha's teaching. That is why still we flock together to learn his teaching. It is still dispel the darkness. In ultimate sense, of course, it leads to perfect enlightenment and emancipation. So in his teaching, today we are going to appreciate the Buddha as a social reformer. In the time of the Buddha, the thinking of the people of ancient India was dominated by Brahmanic teachings. According to Brahmanic belief, human beings are created by the god Brahma, and when the god Brahma created human beings, he categorized these human beings into different castes. So there are upper class people like kings, the religious priests, businessmen, and then there are lower caste people like workers, slaves, untouchable people. By introducing this system as divine revelation, divine creation, or religious authority, the Brahmin priest controlled whole society, whole country. But what was said in this system was, there were many human beings who are marginalized. And these low caste people, they did not have any human rights. In fact, The Buddha, in his teachings, even though his teaching is leading to emancipation and enlightenment, but he tried to create social justice. He said, "Na jaccha vasalo hoti, na jaccha hoti brahmano. Kammano vasalo hoti, kammano hoti brahmano." No one is born to be a higher class or lower caste by birth, but by action. So here he is giving ethical evolution to the concept of caste. It means if you were to behave in a wholesome way, were to do wholesome actions by upholding righteous principles, then if you are such a human being, you are a higher type of human being. On the other hand, if you were to do evil, wicked, immoral actions, by your own actions, you become a lower type of human being. So for the Buddha, high or low does not depend on the birth, but by actions. So Buddha, in fact, gave ethical evaluation to human actions and recognized the importance of human actions. Not only that, he openly and freely admitted all the people from any caste to his dispensation and opened the doors for anyone to come and become monks. In the teachings of the Buddha, in the dispensation of the Buddha, all human beings are equal. So as a social reformer, while he was trying to establish the righteousness and equality among the human beings through his teaching, by his practice also, he established a system for the monks and nuns, and among them, there's no any caste, class, divisions. The only criteria here is your spiritual practice. We recognize the virtue. So there were many discourses where Buddha, in fact, taught against class system and caste system. In his time, again, in ancient India, the women were not respected. It was a male-dominated society, and women did not have any respectable place in the society. Puta rakshati kaumare bharta rakshati yauvane putvastista vire bhare na stri swasantra marhati. The ancient Brahmanic teaching said the women should not be given any freedom. A baby girl should be protected by father. When this girl become young and attain age, she should be given in marriage, then she should live under the husband. After she become old, she should live under the protection and the guidance of her own son. A lady or a woman should never be given the freedom. That was the teachings, and people accepted it. But for the Buddha, men and women are equal. Here Buddha recognized the differences between the men and women. Buddha recognized the different abilities, skills between the men and women. So he recognized the differences. But when it comes to rights, he recognized equal rights. Equal rights for men and women. So he teach his followers to respect the women. So if you were to study the Sigaluvada Sutta, you might see that when the Buddha talks about the duties of husband and wife towards each other, Buddha is given specifically duties. You must respect your wife and you should not belittle your wife, kind of advice. It's to create a new society. When he gives some advice to the Lichwe kings, and in Buddha asked them to include in their constitution that the women must be respected, they must be given due place, they should not their decision must be respected, and this is one of the seven factors that the Buddha taught to these Lichwe kings, and he asked it to be included in their constitution. Sapta aparihaniya dhamma. One day when the Buddha was having a dialogue with King Kosala, a messenger came and said King Kosala that his queen Mallika gave birth to a baby girl. Having heard, king became so upset. And the Buddha said, Ittipi ekachya seyaposu janadipa. The Lord, some women are better than men. So bring her up. Eventually she will become a virtuous woman. She will become a great queen. And she will give birth to a child who can rule the country. So Buddha's attitudes is very different. And he tried his best to create gender equality as a social reformer. What about the reforming related to political thoughts and religious thoughts? In the time of the Buddha, religions were based on, especially Brahmanic religion was the dominant religion. It was mainly based on rites and rituals. And the belief was that by having faith alone, that you can be born in the heaven or you can be saved. And there are also the animal sacrifices. And these people believe that by sacrificing animals, they can create merits and they can be born in the heaven. So Buddha, in fact, taught the human beings that it's not through the belief, but by practice. It's not through the belief that someone can be purified, but it is only through the practice. He said, Suddhi asuddhi pachyattang nanya manye visode. No one can purify another one. Oneself must cultivate. So Buddha teaches the Dhamma for others in such a way that the others must practice themselves and attain enlightenment. So Buddha did not believe or did not teach that by faith alone you can attain enlightenment. Rather, he emphasized the practiced. So the religious tradition in his time based on belief, and he introduced the self-cultivation, ethical, spiritual and intellectual cultivation of the human beings rather than depend on belief. He also changed the system, the thinking of the people, rather than depend on a divine being. He said, Atta dipa bhikkave viharati. Be a light to yourself. Depend on yourself. Atta sarana, ananya sarana. Don't depend on the others. Be a refuge to yourself. So here, even today, we do not depend on the Buddha for our enlightenment. Buddha is a supreme teacher. And we practice the Dhamma in order to attain enlightenment. Buddha cannot make you enlightened human being. He can simply teach you. So his teaching is very different. So he changed the thinking of the people. There were many hundreds and thousands of people who follow him. Many of these people who came forward to follow the Buddha, you will be surprised. They are Brahmins, upper class people. Prince and kings and ministers, wealthy men and these Brahmins. Majority of the monks are Brahmins, not from lower caste. So it's, and the great disciples of the Buddhas are like, you know, billionaires, Anathapindika, and great kings like Bimbisara, Kosala. So he managed to change the social revolution as a social reformer in the society. But of course, these things eventually disappear after the passing away of the Buddha after a few hundred years. And today society is very different in his land. But he did a remarkable job, a wonderful job. Only a Supreme Buddha, I believe, can do such a thing in such a society. So he also influenced political thought. In his time, of course, politicians, the kings, they had so much power. They could do anything they want. So the Buddha, those who had so much power, monarchies, he introduced 10 virtues, what we call Dasa Raja Dharma. Means the 10 principles of a ruler. And he tried to influence the rulers through these righteous principles to work in a such a way that then citizens will be benefited. In one time, King Kosala, before he became a Buddhist, when he was about to have animal sacrifice, believing that will bring good results to the country, and Buddha went and interfered and prevent these innocent animals being slaughtered. And instead the Buddha advised the real sacrifice is not the animal sacrifice, not killing these innocent animals. You must develop the country. You must give the economic prosperity to the people. And said it is the prime duty of the rulers to develop the country economically. In Kuta Danta Sutta, we come across Buddha's teaching is how rulers must develop the countries. And he said, when there is poverty, then there will be crime. So if you can wipe out the poverty, then people will live happily. So in this way, Buddha also influenced the political thought. So when we recognize the Buddha as a social reformer, in fact, there are much more that we can appreciate him, not only as a religious teacher who found a religion that leads to emancipation and enlightenment, but indirectly his teaching also enlightened the people in many other fields like political, social, and economic field. So he is a great social reformer.